From Studio 65 in the western suburbs of the home of the 2016 Grey Cup champions, welcome to Season 5, Episode 5 of the Sens Call-Ups for Sunday, December 4th, 2016, also known as the anniversary of the day the Golden God came home. I'm Cardinal, Pan and Canuck are both here in studio this week. In our city, the gauntlet has been thrown down. Our baseball team, champions. Our football team, champions. Hey, hockey, what you got? Boys, we're all back in the same room, albeit briefly. Time's your flight tomorrow morning, Canuck?
You don't want to know.
Okay.
Just going to wait in line for the airport to open up, aren't you?
Pretty much. Like, yeah. It's a 5:30 a.m. flight.
Ooh.
With checked bags, so you can do the math what time I got to be there.
Four.
Yeah.
No problem.
And do the math what time I got to get up.
Oh, that's right. You live a lot further from the airport than I do. Very true. Okay, that is early for
you. We can just drain this show on and on.
You want to drag the show on?
Yeah.
No.
And then that way Canuck can just go right
see
there.
See ya.
Another Skype episode. Here we go. He's going to do it from home.
Please no.
No. I have to admit, I've become so used to the audio quality of being here that listening to the last episode was, wow. We used to sound like this. I mean, we were not
and
only...
And we thought it was great.
Well, it was better than we thought it was going to be, but... Yikes. Yeah. I was at a couple of quick things. I was at the Grey Cup Parade this week.
Yes, I saw that.
Oh, you went?
Yeah, I went. I had the opportunity to go, and it was very surreal. I was on, here's your little local reference soundbite. I was on Bank Street, where because it was only from Bank and the Queensway to Lansdowne Park. It was only, what, that's that 10 blocks, 12 blocks? I was out on Bank Street at 2nd Avenue at 10 to 12, and I could see... maybe 250 people standing waiting.
Yep.
By noon, I could probably see 1,500. By the time the parade got to me at about 10 after 12, the parade had to stop. Because the front of the parade stopped just before the guys on the truck carrying the Grey Cup got to me. So there were probably 10 vehicles in front of that. It wasn't a big parade, but I mean, whatever. They had to stop at somewhere around 3rd or 4th. Because the road was so full of people, they couldn't get the parade vehicles through. It was
so
insane.
Great.
It was, but where did they come from? Because the road just showed. I don't know where these people parked. I don't know where they came from, but it was a remarkable experience.
It was all the friends of Lansdowne, probably.
Yeah, the enemies of Lansdowne. But it was a fun few minutes.
Hopefully all their yards got trampled on.
No, it was on Bank Street, so it was just out on the main.
But if you're going to the parade, do you want to go see them as they go by, or do you want to go to the final destination where they get on the stage and talk and stuff?
Well, I didn't have time to do that. I only had a certain amount of time, so I just saw them as they went by. But it was really quite entertaining to see all these grown men acting like 12-year-old schoolboys. They were just still so pumped up about this, and I think they were a little surprised by the number of fans that were turning out. Now, there were a lot more of them down by Lansdowne Park than there were down by the Queensway. But there were just people everywhere. And I have no facial recognition skills, so I don't know who it was. I think it was actually a defensive back and a wide receiver, but I'm not good enough with facial recognition to figure out exactly who it was. There were two of them sitting on one truck and just grabbing people's phones, making a stupid selfie together and handing it back.
Just That's
as
pretty
quick,
fun.
As quickly as they could. They were doing probably one every 10 seconds. And they were having the time of their lives doing this. It was so fun to watch. So that was a good day for me. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
I saw the opportunity. I went, when am I going to get to do this again? Let's do it.
The nice thing about that Grey Cup.
Next year.
Yeah.
The nice thing about that Grey Cup win was that it was so decisive and just amazing.
Yeah. Not a nail biter.
You were fine. I'm blowing it.
I'm absolutely losing my mind. It was intense. I'll give you that. And at the same time, there was a hockey game on that half the city couldn't see because, 542 wasn't all that year. 548 or 541.
Yeah, 451.
Whatever it was. It wasn't easy to tune in for an awful lot of us.
Took, well.
Well played. Good job.
No refunds.
Good technology play on that one. Anything else you want to talk about before we get started?
Just the solution. Like, we'll turn it off, turn it back on.
Yeah, so I can miss the Grey Cup and the hockey game while I wait for this to reboot. What a great idea. Thank you. And it worked.
I didn't get my afternoon nap today. What is it about Sundays? Do you get this? Or do you get that?
Yeah, I do today.
Something about Sunday that in the afternoon I just get tired. This day specifically. Yeah. I need that Sunday afternoon nap.
Well, afternoon naps for me generally are always a strong play. If you can get one, take them.
Sure.
I agree.
But Sunday especially.
Well, I think probably
you're
because...
You're out and about with the kids, though.
I think there's probably something in your subconscious that's making you realize this is your last opportunity to get one for several days because the work week is about to start. So,
must be. So the reason I didn't get a nap, though, it turned out to be a fun reason. Company had a family Christmas party, and it was at Canadian Tire Center. Where is it?
Oh,
you blew it.
The moment's passed.
Oh, so that's why you were sending pictures.
So, we had a family skate on the ice. So I got to actually skate there on the Canadian Tire Center ice.
That yours or mine?
And
what's mine?
That's okay. And then afterwards, we were in Club Bell for some refreshments and actually got a tour as well. And? So I got to see the lower level and the press box and stuff. And
is it as good as it seems when
Club
you're sitting?
Club Bell, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Cool.
Amazeballs.
Comfortable seating, et cetera?
Comfortable seating. Pan would, it's totally him.
Oh, yeah.
It's totally him?
What? Yeah.
I don't understand.
It's just his style. Oh. It's everything about it.
Well, it's out of the cost.
Other than the cost, yeah, because it's like $10,000 a seat per seat, full season and 3-year commitment. So it's absolutely corporate.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can tell it's meant for schmoozing and stuff, but it is beautiful in there.
Well, now, what did you say the one upstairs from that, the most
fan deck? I think it's about 3,000 or 4,000 for the season. Full season.
And that includes a food credit?
And that includes a food credit and parking.
And parking?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize.
It's not that bad.
It's not that. It's not a big difference if you were like.
Maybe 100, 120.
In other words, in the 200s.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty clever then.
So, I
like the fan deck.
I stuck my head sort of in through the doorway at a game a little while ago and went, this is actually pretty nice.
Yeah. It's nice.
It's extreme.
Because they have space.
In the 100s or the 200s?
200s.
It's loud.
So what?
It's extreme. The music's really loud.
Did they?
I still like to go to the game, relax, and watch.
Well, you could sit down in the zone.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in the back part. I would be in the front part.
Yeah.
Now, did they? The one thing I noticed is from the concourse is it's very wide. The entrance when you go in is very, very wide.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Almost like they took out the washrooms from that section. Did they leave the other ones?
Yep. They took out a whole suite for that entrance.
Yeah. But did they leave other washrooms in that fan zone?
Oh, no, they did not. No.
See, that I think is a bad plan. I think they should have. If you're in that zone.
But you kind of come right out and it's on either side. It's like the first next door, if you will.
But everybody else is trying to do that too, is what I'm saying.
It's still public.
You're also first to market, though.
Yeah, true. You'd be there faster than anybody else. Fair point. Fair point.
First to urinal?
Yeah. Now,
urinal markets.
How was in Club Bell? You were being fed? How was the food?
Well, I don't think it's a representative.
Chris Neal was there just punching the face feeding you.
I don't think it was a representation of what they would have normally.
Oh, okay.
It was family focused, so it was a lot of, like, candies and popcorn and cookie and pop and ice
not
cream.
Like
and
chicken fingers.
I miss all of you.
And no alcohol, right? But you get a sense for what it would be like.
Cool.
And it would be neat to experience.
I imagine it would. And they have a separate entrance, don't they? From the outside, like they have their own parking lot, and there's a separate entrance for them too.
So. Separate entrance from outside. You can get in. They do have entrances that are guarded.
I noticed that when
but
I went
they have
down
their separate outside entrance too.
I went down. I guess it was the last game I was at. I went down to sort of right outside the TSN booth, which is right next to it. And seeing people could go in that way if they wanted to.
Yep.
I was looking at the TSN booth going, this is a really cool broadcast spot. That was a brilliant idea.
It is.
Take over the suite there and do that.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, and we all know that they've had trouble selling suites. So that was a brilliant move, but it's a fantastic vantage point, not just as a background, but also there are some tables you can sit at there and kind of watch them.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, that's pretty cool. Why don't they sell those?
Yeah,
sell
because
tickets to those.
You just want to make it open to more people that way.
I suppose so. You wouldn't see all that much of the game from that far back. But.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
I got a tour of the press box too in the 400 level. Mm-hmm. And
I've been there. Not a big.
Yeah, using my reward ticket. that's actually a fantastic view.
I love being up at the 400. I've done it a couple of times.
It's
It's Eye in the Sky.
I sat down too, and I didn't. I don't think it was a tall, short thing at all. Like maybe they've changed the chairs or what?
No, it's me. It's me.
I could see the whole ice surface. It was very nice view.
I've been up in a suite a couple of times. I was actually in a suite on the goal line when Peter Bondra scored his first and turned out to be only goal for the Ottawa Senators. but I like being up that high because the whole concept of being an eye in the sky really comes home when you're in the 400 level, because I am. But man, you can see things happening. It's far away. But you get such a big picture of the entire ice without having to basically move your eyes. It's wicked to watch things happen from up there. Yep. A lot of fun. All right. Quick housekeeping before we start. The email address is podcast@sendscollops.com. We have one this week. Thank you very much. The forums at sendscollops.com for game threads, as well as there's a thread for each game, but there's also the scoring contest that's going on all year.
Cool.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. The Waiver Wire, sponsored by our friends
at Versature. The score and point stuff.
The Waiver Wire, sponsored by our friends at Versature. Thank you very much, folks. Is 1-844-SCU-6565. And, of course, you can find us on Twitter. But all that to be said, we got games to talk about, and we got to get out of here before it's too late because Canuck has an early flight.
Now, I think we also got a donation since last.
Did we? Well, we have one email, and we have a couple of voicemails, but we'll have to look into the whole donation thing.
Yeah, special delivery.
Yes.
Sorry, Broussard delivery.
Broussard delivery.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I must have missed that one.
It was a while ago.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did I miss it in our last episode, too?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
So I think that was right after our last one.
You talk about it. I don't see it in front of me, so you talk about it. Thank you very much, special delivery. Yeah.
We also executed one of the requests for a donation. Which is what I was getting at when I held this up.
Ah, yes. I can't remember who gave that one either. Do you?
It doesn't matter. I don't want to say the wrong person.
Just give us cash.
Yeah, somebody gave us cash and said specifically, this is for beer. And
yeah, and you missed it, Cardinal, because I got here before you. I actually brought in a great big box, and it was like we loaded the beer fridge.
Well, it is nicely loaded, I do have to say. I'll be later tonight. No. we have Stiegel Radlers for the pair of you. I have a Muskoka Brewery craft lager, and if I lean over...
That's one of the old ones.
It is.
It is. That's all right. We have some... I can't even see what's
on. Was that the big tug?
Yeah,
we can have one of those later.
The Fat Tug IPA.
Oh, Fat Tug. Yeah, sorry.
It's cloudy, too. So it's unfiltered. Nice.
Easy now.
As well as, is that orange stuff?
There's also Orange Vice Summer White from Amsterdam Seasonal, which is an excellent brewery. So that sounds good, too.
Oh, thank you.
You know who you are, and I'm sure we've mentioned it in the past, but thank you for donations like this, because it does keep us happy.
I'll take a Fat Tug.
You want a Fat Tug?
Yeah.
All right.
Not from you, Pan.
No.
What you two do on your own time when I'm not here or when you're out on the road, hey.
Yeah, you can play, right?
Oh, that's huge.
You probably need the bottle opener.
Oh, yeah. Bottle opener. There we go. Important bits. There you go.
This is probably the longest that we've ever gone.
This is the longest intro ever, but hey, that's all right.
Probably like 16 minutes or something like that, if not longer.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Well, thanks for sticking around, guys. Hockey! Game on!
Game 19. We got a number of games to get through, so we'll try and keep these summaries for each game fairly short. Game 19. The Sens were in Montreal. Oh, it's a big game. We're playing the big bag Habs. Oh, they're on such a roll. Look out.
How many points behind were we?
At that point, I think we were 8, maybe 10.
It's that much.
It was a big lead back then. Yeah. Big lead. And 4-3 win. Hoffman was back in for this game. He had been out for a little while.
Woohoo!
Bobby Ryan
to the win, not to Hoffman.
Bobby Ryan couldn't play as they couldn't freeze his finger without freezing his entire hand. Apparently, it's a microfracture of the index finger on his lower hand. It's the third finger that
he can't shoot.
Like
no,
you just can't. He can't even receive a pass properly. So
sure can dish him though.
Well, it was there. He actually tried a couple of games after this, and then that's when he pulled himself out earlier this week and just said, "Nope, can't do it." But the in this particular game, the Hoffman-Broussard-Stone line did very, very well. They scored several goals. But the team got into penalty trouble at one point, which is kind of typical for this team. It was unusual in this game that Max Pacioretty actually got called for goalie interference.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think the refs got the memo that they weren't supposed to do that. Because everybody was, What do you mean you just called the Habs for goalie interference? You don't call the Habs for goalie interference.
I thought they were the exception.
They are the exception. And these refs didn't know it. And there were going to be repercussions. Oh. four goals were from Hoffman, Broussard, Stone, and Erik Karlsson. So the line of Hoffman, Broussard, Stone scored 3 out of 4. Very nice. The team, the Senators, were actually badly outchanced, and the shot attempts were as lopsided as they were lopsided against Tampa the game before. So did very well. By the way, at this point in the season, and I believe still right now, Ottawa is the only team that has 2 wins against Montreal so far this season.
Oh, I'm sure of it.
So very, very well played.
Carey Price scored like a 750 or something like that.
Yeah, he did not have a good game. Not good game at all. Next game, game number 20. The Sens were in town versus the Bruins. Zdeno Chara was not in this game.
Did they go to this?
I don't know. The Bruins scored right at the very, very end of the first period.
I was in Halifax.
Okay.
You were at this game, because, and I'll tell you why. It was a power play goal, and it was the shot that went off enough and in, and he was practically screaming in pain because it was his ribs or hands.
Oh, I went alone. That was it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So that was a pretty ugly goal, just like painful, because it looked painful when it went off him, because it was it was a strong shot that just sort of ricocheted off him. Stone scored in the second to tie the game, and it was a beauty.
Beauty goal.
The third goal was the Turris to Ryan, back to Turris. Boom.
Yes.
The winning goal. That was a thing of beauty. I was like, ooh, Ryan and Turris have chemistry. This is good. Yeah. This is very good because Broussard, Hoffman, and Stone.
Twice on that one.
Broussard, Hoffman, Stone seem to be going well together. And Turris, Ryan, and Ryan DeZingle, the double Ryan Coke. Or sorry, double Ryan 7 line.
Where did you hear that one?
It was on the radio. So Ryan DeZingle, Bobby Ryan, and Turris, number 7. So it's a double Ryan 7.
I like it.
That's fantastic.
For those of our listeners south of the border, rye is what a lot of Canadian whiskey is called.
Don't know if you put that with 7 up, but...
Well, you could put rye in 7. I'd prefer to have rye and ginger myself. That's just me. But very, very tasty. Very common. Canadians know rye and ginger. It's just one of those things.
On ice?
Yes, usually with ice. Well, wait a minute. A double rye and ginger, that would be Chris Neal playing with them.
let's not do that.
Well, then you didn't have any centers. It'd be three wingers. But that was a beautiful. That was a fun game, and always good to beat the Bruins, especially when you happen to work with a Bruins fan who comes into work the next day going, "Shut up! All of you can shut up! No, 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 no. That would be wrong. We must talk about this." Game 21: the Senators versus the Hurricanes, nemesis team.
We have a new nemesis team that's coming up.
That's coming up, but this has been a nemesis team up to now. Carolina scored in the first. Phaneuf tied the game in the second. And the Turris goal in the third was challenged as being offside. Carolina challenged it for being offside, but the challenge was not
rejected.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Carolina did the new advanced stats thing of pulling the goalie with 2 minutes remaining. And in the last minute of play, there was a delayed penalty called on the Senators with a minute left in the game.
Yes.
And they played an absolutely brilliant 7-on-5 defensively until 5 seconds left in the game when they finally touched the puck. And that's when the Ottawa, I can't remember who the penalty was on.
You can't have 7.
Pulled goalie. Oh, I suppose it already was 6-on-5.
Right.
Yeah. 6-on-5. Sorry. Right. But it was 55 seconds of it. until Ottawa finally touched the puck with about 5 seconds left in the game. And they
that was the Carolina era because they should have just given Ottawa the puck.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Anderson had 4 brilliant saves in those 55 seconds, though. Absolutely phenomenal work. 2-1 win.
Well, now we got a back-to-back, so what are you going to do?
You're going to go to...
Get him in there!
You're going to go to New York.
Beat that horse!
And
Anderson, man.
The game 22. The Senators go to New York for the second game in 2 nights on a back-to-back. And it's a 2-0 win. Get him in there. He'll get you a shutout. Now
take that, Broadway.
The first goal was scored by JGP. And it was the first time since November 9th. This was around November 24th, 5th. I didn't write the game date down.
Which game? Buffalo?
The Rangers.
27th.
So it was the first time since November 9th that the Senators had scored first.
Wow.
Wow. Yikes. Yeah, 27th. There we go. I actually did write it down. I should read all my notes, not just part of them.
We're in the giving season.
I didn't write down who scored the second Ottawa goal, unfortunately. I did write down that the Rangers played like a team possessed. They were really, really pushing for an awful lot of this game, but Anderson was absolutely outstanding, especially in the last 5 minutes of the game. And the Senators,
stolen from Hoffman,
with a 2-0 win, were the Senators shut out the highest scoring team in the league. The Rangers score more than the Habs.
Oh yeah,
which I thought was interesting. Big time. Yeah. So there we go. Another 2-0 win. The team's record at the time was 14-7-1. Got a nice ring to it.
Beat Montreal. You beat Boston. You shut out the Rangers. Bring on the Buffalo Slugs.
In 4 days, yeah. Bring on Buffalo. Yeah, how's this going to go? Now, game 23, Senators versus Buffalo. There we go. Sorry. Mine momentarily going blank.
Our new nemesis team.
Hammond was called up. Clayson and McCormick were still here, so it was a full complement of 23 players. Stone scored. Hoffman had a hat trick. Erik Karlsson got his 300th career assist on the third Hoffman goal. But we lost 5-4.
It actually was an exciting game.
That was a great game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Go into that one.
I'm starting to wonder if Buffalo is to Ottawa what Ottawa is to Montreal.
Anderson wasn't sharp, but I think his wife was probably going into treatment the next day.
And also, Mathot missed the third period with a lower body injury. He threw that magnificent hip check in the first period. Patented Mark Mathot, except he was a little too close to the boards when he did that. So after he threw the hip check, he crashed in hip first. And I'm wondering if that might be what the problem is.
Still out.
Yeah.
Or he aggravated whatever it was because he's been missing time.
Ryan started this game, but he missed the second and third period, and he hasn't been playing since then.
Robin Leonard will either win here or get hurt.
What happened to him?
Well, let's go with get hurt next time, shall we?
He did get hurt.
He got hurt.
Oh, that's right. Happened? He did. I didn't write it down.
And when the other guy came in.
There was a hip injury. Nielsen was terrible.
We were lighting him up.
Yeah.
He was bad, and he still won, but he was bad.
Well, he pulled it together a little bit in the third.
Not overly. The first shot rebound was always there.
Oh, well. 5-4 loss.
We came close.
Came close. Game 24 was the Senators versus the Flyers. That was, that here or there?
Here.
That was here, okay. Senators versus the Flyers. Mathot out, Ryan out, Anderson was away. Clayson was up and was playing, but got hurt in the first period. So again, the Senators were down to 5D. The Senators had moments. I had my notes from this game because I only caught part of it, unfortunately. They had moments, but they were very disjointed for extended periods of time. And I'm wondering,
bad first period too.
Yeah, I'm wondering are the injuries that this team is having, and they are starting to mount up, are they wreaking havoc on the system because there's so much player movement around? In certain, especially on our blue line, where we're moving players around quite a bit down there, trying to patch holes and put people in who may not be experienced enough. No offense to Freddie Claesson. He actually did pretty well until he got hurt. But I'm wondering if that's causing a bit
of a
problem.
Are you calling into question the system?
No, I'm not calling into question the system.
Because we don't diss the system.
I'm not. I wait till we get to the next game. I got some really nice comments about the system, briefly.
I don't see it. We've got, there's, how many games is this? 7 games, we have 2 shutouts. 2-1
We're never blown out.
We're never blown out, but I'm wondering if the team just loses that little bit of extra synchronicity. Thank you, the police. because there are so many changes going on in game, and sometimes it's putting people in situations they may not be really good at. Like Mark Borowiecki taking 4 minor penalties because he's playing in the top pairing where he's not really successful.
Well, that kind of stuff has to have an effect.
Yeah.
The in-game injuries were, especially for the defense, really hurt things.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And I'm wondering...
Have a seat there, Pat. Yeah.
I'm wondering if that may... Easy now. I'm wondering if that might be where some of the problems are coming from. I'm not criticizing the play of the team, and I'm not criticizing the system at all. But there were some moments where things just weren't clicking. And I'm wondering if it's just because people have been tossed around. Some of the top lines are doing very, very well with who they've sort of slotted in with. So I'm not faulting that.
I'm beginning to wonder whether part of Boucher's system is just to troll the opposition once in a while and throw out a stinker, period.
Here you go. Think you're good, huh? All right, let's do this. So that was an overtime loss. I mean, the team at least got to overtime against the Flyers.
A local boy, Giroux, scores it.
The day after proposing to his girlfriend and putting pictures of it up on Twitter.
In Ottawa?
Yeah.
Yeah, at their house that they're building. What is it with hockey players building houses in Ottawa? Lots of them do. And he's not local. I mean, he's local now, but he's originally from Hearst. He played in Gatineau, but he's originally from Hearst.
Who knows? Where's Hearst?
Up North Bay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. He was turned down. The reason he played in the Q was because no OHL team wanted him. And I can say, I was actually at a game over at the Bob when Claude Giroux and JGP were playing for the Olympique. That was fun. We still have to get you to a game over there before they tear that building down.
I've never been either.
Oh, really? Small ice, crazy fans, like crazy fanatical hockey fans.
Low ceiling building, right?
Really, yeah, low ceiling.
That makes a difference.
Oh, it's great. Oh, not a lot of leg room.
The sound is loud.
Yeah. Not a lot of leg room in the seats because everything is really steeply
canted.
That'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
But it's a lot of fun to watch a game. And because the ice is small, it's quite exciting to watch. So I'll have to do that. Game 25, the Senators versus the Panthers. We'll talk about it in a bit. We fired our coach and left him in the loading dock, Panthers.
Had to catch an Uber or something, right?
This was a 2-0 win. McCormick was sent down. Buddy Robinson and Andreas Englund were called up.
My gosh, did they look good.
They both fit in really well. I was watching
this game last night. I didn't notice Englund at all.
I did.
I noticed him a couple of times.
I was watching for him.
Which is perfect.
And I wasn't noticing him in a bad way. I was like, ooh.
I didn't.
Ooh.
Yeah, not noticing him is perfect.
39. Yeah. He was wearing Karkner's old number.
He's wearing Karkner's old number. And Buddy Robinson was wearing Gonchar's old number. He was wearing 55. And
Robinson had a couple
real
noticed.
Good chances.
Yeah, good energy.
He's good energy. He's also got size, and he's learning to use it. He's not as physical as he could be, but he's learning to use it. But Englund made a couple of very, very good, solid, not quite Boro hits, but like you can tell he's a big, solid guy who's used to throwing his weight around, and he's a defenseman who knows exactly what he's doing. He's not trying to pinch up. He's not trying to do all that other stuff. Nope, you're coming down my wing. I'm going to thump you.
I saw him playing safe, but that's what would you expect?
That's what you want. And it's what you want, really. Right. So I was very pleased with his play.
And that's
very
part of the system, too.
Yep.
Just because Boucher's mentioned, it's like the left side, we're just going to rush at you.
And crunch you.
Yeah.
And the right side, we're going to rush at you and go
I saw Phaneuf do that in that game too. And it's like, finally.
Yep.
Yeah. Stand up to
them. Phaneuf's coming around right now.
Right? He has. He's had some very, very, he's been the hardest working Senator on a number of games recently. Like the sort of fourth star from TSN 1200.
I don't know if they've taken CeCe away from him at all. From time to time.
One game where they played separately.
CeCe actually had a good game against the Panthers. I thought.
Did he?
Well, I hope so. I'm still hopeful for him. I know he's been struggling, and maybe he needs to move around a little bit. And if he needs to go down to the third pairing, because Boro's having
defense
an amazing season.
Doesn't matter too much. Because all those, I mean, yes, one pair will always get the most time, and that'll be Carlson's pair. But it's not the same as being demoted to the fourth line. Like the third defensive pairing has to be out there a lot. So.
Yeah. But if he was playing, Boro's having a very good season. I am so happy with his play.
He seems to fit in the system well.
It works for him. He leads the league, by the way, in hits. A third pairing defenseman leads the league in hits.
And I love what happened. He had that big hit before the second goal.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't recall the Florida Panther player. Who was it?
Thornton.
Was it Thornton?
Yeah.
And he just goaded him. He wanted to fight. And it seemed like the whole team started turning around watching him. Meanwhile, the centers go down and just score a beauty.
Yeah.
Two beautiful
because
passes.
Mathot was almost looking past him going, nah, I think, oh, wait, this looks good. Yeah. Boom. In the net. Exactly. That was fun. The first 10 minutes of the game were absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely five-star brilliant. Erik Karlsson scored. Broussard scored 19 seconds later, I should say. And I have to say, the power play in the first period looked absolutely unbelievable.
The first
good.
One did.
The first and second one.
The second one still looked good, but then you kind of realize...
Then it fell apart.
They're too fancy now.
Well, the first and the second one, they were moving things around, and they were getting the Panthers to be moving. They were moving. The puck was moving, and they were getting the defenders to move around as well. And that's why it looked fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then it just fell apart in the second and third period because they kept getting power plays, and they kept getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it going, all right, I'm really watching this happen.
Meanwhile, the penalty kill is looking fantastic. They still killed that 5-on-3. Erik Karlsson out on the 5-on-3. Tackled a guy.
Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
Looked amazing.
Erik Karlsson leads the league in blocked shots. The league.
And you watch him on that 5-on-3, he's standing in a position trying to block the shot. Mm-hmm. It's not just like incidental right place, right time. He's actually going out of his way trying to block the shots.
Yeah. But all these people who are, oh, he's a defensive defenseman, he's amazing, he blocks shots. Well, that's an offensive defenseman who blocks shots.
No, it's a defenseman.
And leagues, well.
The only thing is that this is going to catch up with him.
No. Can't think
well, of Well, probably. Hopefully not for a little
now, the
while.
The guy just proposed and stuff, so he's probably on cloud nine.
I still can't believe
him.
I walked by that.
Did you ever tell this story on the
No,
podcast?
No, you
show.
Didn't. Here you go. Well, here's your opportunity.
I texted you guys. I was like, because I was walking back from lunch. I was just, the hell's going on there? There's a camera crew and all this stuff. It's like, oh, it's Erik Karlsson. He's got a pizza box with him. He's probably recording a commercial of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what was this at the Tennessee Williams place or whatever?
No,
it's
no. Oh, okay. I don't want to say it on.
Okay.
Near where you work.
Yeah. But fair which enough. Location?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
Because I don't want to kind of out where they go to. Sends in the wild a lot now. I see them all the time.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're just people. They have lives out away from the hockey ring.
Yeah, and that's why I just texted you. It's too bad I didn't snap a picture of that because that would have been
worth gold.
Oh, yeah.
Money. Money.
Anyway.
Is this like I'm first?
So you saw Karlsson with the pizza box?
Yeah. And because I think he hired a camera crew or some sort to film the whole thing.
Right. Smart.
And so they were just winding up.
Now, was this in the restaurant?
No, it was just on the street on the way out.
Oh. Oh, okay. Because I saw tweets from other people about it, and I thought it was happening in the restaurant.
I think he probably proposed inside the restaurant.
You didn't see that. You just saw
they were leaving, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're showing off the pizza box and stuff. I was like, it's weird. Your pants are too tight.
Yeah, their suits are too tight, but that's just me. They look like they were shrunk, but that's fashion
That's the modern fashion
that's the style
that they're going for.
Looks
well, he's European, too.
Ridiculous.
It's European.
Ridiculous. Anyway, so that was...
$6.5 million a year, you can do whatever you want.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty
well,
much.
Well, for the listeners that didn't see that story, I guess he proposed to his fiance with the ring inside the pizza box.
Yeah, he put it sort of, he had them put the ring in the pizza, sort of in the center of the pizza.
In the box, like in the ring box, though. It wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just sitting there.
It wasn't like,
that'd be kind of
start
gooey
to eat it. Like, oh.
What the?
I got to clean this.
I just broke a tooth. Well, it's all right. You broke it on a nice size rock. Just a quick aside, with the 2-0 win over the Panthers, the Senators are 15-8-2, which is good for 32 out of a possible 50 points. 64%.
And they're
crazy. Like
I'll take it.
A couple points out of lead,
yeah.
League wide. So they're in the equation.
They're doing very, very well.
If you win the next game, which is it's not going to happen, it's Pittsburgh.
Never know.
But then it's like you win two, you lose one. You'll be 16-8-2.
Yeah. I'd be okay.
Crazy.
So it used
We're
to be
3 points out of the league, maybe four now. With
used to be U.S. Thanksgiving was the, you know, what did they call it? The point of no return, the measuring stick day, where if you were in the playoff position, then you probably would stay in it. Now, we proved that wrong last year.
And but the divisions are real tight.
Standings are a lot tighter than they used to be. Like that was the rule back before 3-point games and that sort of thing. Oh, they were so. 1 point games. They were called ties.
Last year we had we talked about the fact that we had a decent start in terms of record, but it just didn't feel right, and it went on to show. This time it feels there's a lot of sloppiness, but there's a lot of season left too. And it seems that they're able to hang in there on games that, you know, they're either behind or they're ahead. They're just hanging in there.
Well, I think Dean said it best.
And they never hung in last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, last year, in our last episode of last year, I think Dean said it best when he said, the problem wasn't something that the team started to do wrong. The problem was that the team never started to do something right. And that was defend. Early in the season, they were scoring lots of goals, and that covered up for the fact that they could not defend. And then when the scoring dried up and the power play dried up, and they couldn't defend anymore, then they were euchred. And I think the difference this year is, I'm getting really tired of people saying that the games aren't exciting and this team is not exciting. That's
I
why
think that's stopped
It's
now.
Starting to stop. It's still around. But, it's, well, you want wins. So now you want wins and exciting.
This,
and
this
now
isn't trap hockey, people.
No, it's just it is smart. Not trap. It's just smart. And they play, I find the games quite entertaining. It's not necessarily high.
Octane.
It's entertaining. It may not be high excitement hockey for 60 minutes, but it is entertaining because it's not a shambles.
Yeah. All we need is a power play to go.
Yeah, as soon as the power, and I mean,
and then it's perfect.
If our
perfect.
Power play was what's the word here?
Middling. Clicking. If it was mediocre,
yeah,
it would be great.
We would and be blowing
that's
people
all
out.
You need. You don't need to score in strength.
Because right now, the power play is ranked 28th. I did a quick little
amazing that we're that low,
and the penalty kill has slipped a little bit. It's now 9th, so it's still in the top third, it's but fine. It's still 9th. The stat that really surprised the hell out of me, because I was looking them up just before we started. Goals against this team is 6th in the league.
Yeah, I didn't look at that.
Wow. In goals against, blew my mind, and goals for 26th.
It's the opposite of last year.
Yeah,
goals for 26th.
26.
Our differential
is
zero.
Yeah.
So because they always show that stat now in the standings.
Yeah.
So.
It's a tiebreaker.
Yeah. We're 26th in the league in goals for at 2.44, but we're 6th in goals against at 2.36.
But last year, only one team didn't make it with one team made it with a negative goal differential. Now it's Detroit.
Now,
no teams missed out because of a positive.
Well, it's not a bad thing. Now, how many shutouts do we have this year? Anderson has 3 and Condon has 2?
Yep.
If I recall. 5. So 5.
We're on pace for 16.
Which certainly helps with your goals against ratio.
In your wins. to win games that you get shutouts.
They just need to score a few more and that'll certainly come around. And as we mentioned earlier, the top shot blocker in the league is Erik Karlsson. Number one. And the top, the guy who leads the league in hits is Mark Borowiecki. Third pairing defenseman. Leads the league in hits. Not a forward, not a power forward. Nope. Third pairing defenseman.
Hmm. Well, that just means you never have the puck.
Well, it means he's hitting somebody and we get it.
Well, you saw in the Florida game what a good hit, how it can change the dynamic of a
player. For sure. I just thought that stuff was great.
You know, I wonder if that's a reason why when you see a good, clean, open ice hit, everybody charges after and tries to start a fight because they want to stop that play. I wonder if that's part of it, too.
That's interesting thought.
Because if you stop that play, you
kill
the momentum.
That's a whole reason for hit.
Because when you hit someone, it's like
it's
the momentum.
It gets them out of position. Well, it's a couple of things. One, you're getting somebody out of position. Two, you're having them second guess themselves so that they won't be as aggressive.
It energizes your team.
Oh, for sure.
But that's a hit will a set fight.
That's a fight, no. But
that's a really interesting theory. The big hit, you want to stop the play after the big hit because the big hit is screwed
basically
up
you
everything.
Caught me with my pants down. Let's stop the play so I can reset.
Yeah,
yeah, you're totally out of position. That's the whole reason for hitting someone.
Well, no, but I mean the reason because you're so discombobulated. That's why you want to get a whistle before something bad happens to your team, and that's why you want to start a fight over it. That's an interesting theory.
It's got to be part of it. I don't think that's the first thing that people think of.
No.
It's just revenge.
No, but it's not a bad thought.
They're not smart enough for that.
It's not a bad point.
You hurt my guy, I'm going to hurt you. That's all it is.
Yeah, but I like your theory. It's good.
No, that's my
it's good
advanced theory there.
There's nothing advanced with these guys.
Nice.
Me put fucking
No, you don't. You're the goalie.
Any particular player you want to talk about? I listed a whole bunch of them. I have a note on a few.
Always the Zingle.
It's always the Zingle.
My gosh, has he ever looked good?
He's totally supplanted.
He looks like a top six who can't finish.
It'll come.
I'm hoping.
It'll come.
Otherwise, this is Eric Condor all over again.
Oh, I think it'll...
No, I don't think so.
I think it'll come for him. He's just...
He's got the skill.
He's got the skill. He's got the speed. And I think he's fitting in rather well with Turris and Ryan. When Ryan gets back or whatever is going on, I think he'll be fine. And I think he's a very good fit as a top six forward because he balances out Turris and Ryan very, very well. Very yeah. well.
Like, he has surpassed my boy Lazar in the lineup.
Yes.
Easily.
Deservedly so.
Your boy Lazar.
Deservedly.
That's my boy.
Now, he's a little older than Lazar as well. He's 20.
Yeah, but who isn't?
Touche. But he's, I mean, quite frankly, I'm more impressed with Dzingel and his potential this year than I was with somebody else taken in the same draft last year. Mika.
Oh.
Okay, sure.
Same draft. I have more hope for
No.
You think Mika Zibanejad will have a better overall top end?
Oh, yeah.
I don't. Still hasn't shown it.
Really? Because he's got 15 points in 19 games.
Yep. Ryan Dzingel.
I hate this.
Ryan Dzingel hasn't been getting top line minutes until about the last four or five games.
No, he's...
I think he's a better fit for this team, which is all I care about.
This is good. What do you think of it?
It's very hoppy. It's a, what is it called again?
Fat Tug? Fat Tug IPA.
It's very hoppy, and it's weird because the nose is citrus, but the...
Craft brewed in Victoria, BC.
Oh, it comes a long way then. Halfway across the continent.
Take a deep breath, sailor. It's difficult to fathom, but such monstrous hot bitterness can be foiled by ample malt. Buoyancy.
It's very citrus on the nose, but it's very hoppy bitter on
hoppy
the palate.
Nirvana.
It's very good. Well, I like a good hoppy beer. So if people, you're looking for a hoppy beer, there you go. We'll have to put this in the beer.
It softens, it's hoppy, but it softens it up a little bit so it doesn't mm-hmm. bite you hard.
But yeah. Also, as it warms up, it's getting hoppier. Mm. It's great.
I still don't know about that. 5 goals, 10 assists, 19 games.
I'm okay with it. Yeah, and how much is he going to be wanting to be paid next year? And where would you put him in on this team?
Dzingel or no, Mika?
Mika.
This is a big piece of, I think, why they moved him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got Colin White's coming in at the end of the year.
Colin White?
Granted, yeah. Please send him to bring him to next year.
Yeah, he will be, I would imagine. Unless he beats
depends
somebody
who we
else.
Lose. Or depends who we lose. Yep.
And there's also Logan Brown longer term. So yep. There's lots of centers around this team, and Mika was simply expendable because he's going to cost a lot of money. He's going to want second line center money, which is what we're already paying Brassard, but for a lot fewer years than Zibanejad is going to want on this contract. Because he's already taken his bridge. So he's going to want a lot of money for a long term. And with other players possibly fitting in that spot,
I liked
okay
him,
with this.
But I
like
I get it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Fine. Mike Hoffman, how about that hat trick? Wow. Wow.
But he cost him the goal in overtime against the Flyers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So?
Whatever.
Jesus. Three.
You guys got 4 goals in 2 games.
Two words. It happens.
Yeah.
Even Pierre Maguire is going on about that. He's like, you know what? No, I'm happy they're going for it. You get to overtime, 3-on-3, you go for it.
You've already got your point.
You go for it.
Exactly.
Don't play.
It's all about offense.
Unless you're killing time to get into the shootout.
Well, I suppose, but
no. In total Ottawa fashion, when Hoffman scored the hat trick, hats were being thrown on the ice. Now, mind you, it was a bit silly, but, you know, cue the naysayers to Ottawa. Please refrain from throwing stuff on the ice. Now, this was said kind of after the...
No, it's just...
There was a period of time where the hats came out and, okay, it was over, but then people kept one off throwing another hat.
Oh, after they were starting to clean them up and sort of
thing? Yeah.
Oh,
so, okay. It was fine. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you're telling people not to throw their hats on ice after a hat trick.
Yeah.
I mean, just let it happen.
Whatevs. And Stone seems to be turning more into his old self as well. I think he's
looks good.
Yeah. And I really, really like Hoffman Tourist Stone.
Yep.
That looks really weird. No, sorry. Hoffman.
Yep.
Yeah.
Never take Hoffman and Stone apart, ever. I've been saying it for 3 years. They made Curtis Lazar look good.
Hoffman and Stone?
Yeah. Hoffman. Yeah, no, it's Hoffman Broussard Stone.
Broussard Stone.
Hoffman Broussard Stone, because Tourist is playing with DeZingle and Bobby Ryan.
Yeah.
The double Ryan Coke.
Yes.
So it's Broussard, or Hoffman Broussard Stone looks just fine. And maybe, Broussard's not scoring. Have you seen how many goals that line is getting?
He's getting there.
He's getting assists. And
he's getting there now. I think he got three.
He got five. One in the...
last night.
Last night, he got one against the Habs.
But if he ends up setting up Hoffman or Stone, both of whom are snipers, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think he got one in Buffalo, too. So he's got three and seven.
Okay. Well,
he's getting there. But
either way. I'm fine with it. It's as long as it works. How it works is not really my concern. That's a TV show on TLC.
Not my concern.
That's How Stuff Made. Never mind.
Oh.
How it's made.
Pyatt. Tom Pyatt. I have to say, I'm still very pleased with his play. No problems at all. But I do like him better as a bottom six forward than a top six forward.
The team started winning because
he's got speed, and he knows how to handle. Savvy. Himself defensively.
Yep.
He just lacks a little finish.
So he's perfectly positioned where he is now.
Should be.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think now that he's back, now that he is down there, I'm good with him being down there. And I hope that, no offense, he stays there because that's
what
good.
He's supposed to do.
It's where he should be. And he's very good at it. And he's certainly an asset. Certainly an asset in that role. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Condon. Looking fine.
Yeah, that last game he had, not the one yesterday, but the one before that, which was a loss, he was looking not great, but I think the team in front of him looked much worse than he did and made him look worse than he was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he went back. He was back.
Play that game?
I'd have to go back and look. It was in our last episode.
Hmm.
He looked fantastic last night.
Yep.
Fantastic. And
very easy. Made it look easy.
He doesn't flop around. He's very focused on what's going on, and he just seems to be in the right place an awful lot of the time. An awful lot. His game seems to be quite controlled. So
it seems that if the team's playing well defensively in front of him, he does just fine.
Yep.
He fills that last out.
That's fine.
Weidman, he looks really good.
Weidman looks surprisingly good. The new system, I think, is as good for him as it is for his defensive partner. It works really well for both of them.
So here's
thank you.
Here's a question. How would Jared Cowan look like with Boucher?
That's an interesting thought. It honestly and truly it is an interesting thought because I bet I would imagine that he can build Cowan's strengths into whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Which shows how good this
stay back,
coach.
Stay there.
It shows how good this coach is.
Oh, but Cowan liked to jump in and hit, which would work well in the system. However, I think he got spooked by the suspensions.
Coach screwed him up.
I believe that.
Ever since Paul McLean, because he started the line brawl, and ever since against Montreal in the playoffs, and ever since then, he second-guessed everything that he did.
He started the line brawl, which was the right thing to do because he was punching out Ryan White after he took the double-handed chop at Zach Smith.
And remember, I think it was last year, if not two seasons ago.
I remember he's wanted
and
to fight.
And he kept, he wanted to fight, but then he didn't want to fight, and he wanted to fight, and he didn't want to fight.
Yeah, he's just not sure.
He wasn't sure.
Instinct.
No, I think that's the coach.
Well,
going,
no, the problem is his instinct was going, and the coach was saying, no, don't. And the
which
problem
is
was,
ridiculous.
Yeah. If you think it's the right thing to do.
You do it.
Exactly. By the way, Canuck, I really like your sweater. You're wearing your old school Ottawa Senators logo. It's sort of halfway between
Heritage logo hoodie.
Hoodie. But it's got stripes on the arms too. Like it almost looks like a sweater,
yep.
Like a hockey sweater, but it's a hoodie. I like that one.
I've come to quite like this.
And
no? Not your thing?
It tastes like cereal.
Cereal?
Well, it's a Weiss beer, so it's very wheaty. Wheaty. It's a wheat beer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Boingy. There, like that.
He's wrong.
Or Senatoris Maximus. I don't know about that.
It's quite wheaty. There's not a lot of orange in it, though.
No. Nope.
At least not on its nose. This is fantastic.
Water? Oh.
Yes. My H2O. It's very good. Weidman, we were just talking about. Clayson, I'm really sorry he got hurt because he was adequate.
Everyone's fine.
He's fine.
Everyone's fine.
I don't have a complaint. I don't. The last player to have notes about is Clark MacArthur. He took a few days off. It wasn't a bad thing. It's actually a step in his recovery process. And did you hear the interview with Pierre Dorion?
Yeah.
The 20-minute one?
Oh, yes.
On Friday?
Yeah. No, I just heard his comment about Clarkson.
Okay. Clark MacArthur. If you get a chance, it's on TSN 1200's website. Listen to the whole interview. He is even better. Honestly, he's even better than Brian Murray. I love the interviews with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Guy Boucher, he explains things in really simple, layman, non-hockey professional terms. He's very honest. He's very open, sometimes too open, like Brian Murray. But I really like the sort of down-home, relaxed.
It's the total opposite feeling you get compared to when you have a Melnick interview.
Well, I don't. No, you see, I don't get the dread that some people get with Melnick. It's just I'm.
Yes, you do.
I don't. I
well,
I,
it's because you don't.
I just don't give a damn.
Take his word for the truth.
I just don't give a damn. Yeah. But how's that for the truth? But
frankly, my dear,
I really said that. Never mind. I just like listening to him because he's obviously quite intelligent. And he speaks in a way that anybody can understand without it sounding condescending. He's very engaging, like Guy Boucher. But he's very open, like Brian Murray. And listening to an interview with him, I mean, they were kidding around with, it was on In the Box. And every couple of minutes, Steve Lloyd would say, okay, well, I got to let you go. No, I'm good. I got lots of time today. Ask as many questions as you want.
Nice.
And it was so, you know, relaxed and homey. But at the same time, he was like, you know, no, go ahead.
It's refreshing.
Ask as much as you want. It's fine. Well, it's refreshing, but it's also, I mean, it's not refreshing versus what it was before. He's just being honest and easygoing. I'm fine with it. Brian Murray was always a great interview. I had no problem with that. None at all. But it was just, if you get a chance.
Brian Murray didn't care what the fans thought. I think Dorion's much better at that stuff.
Well, yeah. I think he realizes. I don't think he necessarily cares what fans think, because he's a professional and he's doing what's right for the hockey team.
I don't care what my customers think.
No, it's not that he doesn't care. He realizes it. He takes it. I guess what I'm trying to say is it won't affect his decision making.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's his job to make decisions that are the right thing for the hockey team.
Okay, yeah.
So
he'll also verbalize it in a way that's fan friendly.
Exactly. He's aware of them and he will try to address them, but he doesn't necessarily care what they think because he's doing what's right for the hockey team, not for what people may be complaining about.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Want to go voicemail?
No, hold on. Anderson.
Oh.
Anderson apparently is back for the. Now, Pittsburgh game is tomorrow?
Tomorrow. So he's flying in and out.
Has he been given the keys to the city yet?
I don't know. No, but
coming to that, Silver Sevens has started an article 2 days ago.
Okay.
Because the All-Star voting is up now. So to try to get him as the, I don't think it'll work for the division, but to get him to be the All-Star captain.
Ooh.
All-Star captain?
Because you vote for whoever you want as a top player for the team.
Hmm.
Which is why John Scott got it last year.
John Scott was captain?
Yeah,
he was.
It's your most voted for player. But they've introduced
a new rule. Wearing a black NHL logo.
Anderson will, if Anderson wins it, he will be named the captain.
If he wins the most votes.
You've got to outvote Carey Price, though, but.
Ugh.
Yeah,
Might be able to get there.
I think it's possible because Montreal fans will be so,
Montreal's polarizing.
They've been through a Sakakoivu, though.
But
they'll get it.
They'll get it, but I also think that
Price will still be on the team.
He'll still be on the team. That's an interesting thought. We should promote that on Twitter everywhere else. All right. So go to, where's the voting taking place?
Well, I presume NHL.com? I don't know. I don't want to go to that website anymore.
I'm not fond of it. I'll give you that. But that's a great idea. We should get behind that.
He's got to get the Masterton. He's going to be one of the candidates for sure.
Well, find somebody who's overcoming more adversity than that. It'll have to be pretty damn big. As well as, well, what was the other one? What was the other one that, well, that Alfie got? The other award that Alfie got, which was community leadership. That's true.
He's still very, very private. So
I have no problem with that.
I don't know if Craig Anderson would want that because it's going to be a whole weekend of hoopla.
True. Well, I mean, it's at the end of the season.
No, sorry, for the
All-Star game.
For the All-Star game.
Well, we'll see.
Good point.
That's in...
Until he actually wins it and then he tries to buy out just to take care of personal stuff and then he gets suspended for a game.
January or February?
I don't know. Usually February.
Or late January, early February. Yeah. Is normally, isn't it?
Now, the other thing I want
I don't even know where it is this year.
L.A.
No idea.
L.A.
Oh, God, he's really not going to want to go.
He's the other end of the venue. Country. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You like that. You like that arena, didn't you?
It's a great arena.
It's a nice venue.
Busiest arena. It's busier than Madison Square Garden.
Mm. I believe that.
Yeah. Three professional teams. Two basketball, one hockey.
Yep.
Can you imagine the scheduling nightmare that would be?
I haven't seen Pittsburgh.
Lakers, whatever you want.
Clippers are a better team.
Oh, that's right.
Ironically, this time around.
And I don't even like basketball, and I know that.
I haven't seen the Pittsburgh arena yet, but I think Edmonton is probably top right now in terms of quality and newness and stuff. And
have you been to,
until next year?
Have you been to the Prudential Center?
Yes,
in Jersey.
Not bad.
Yeah. Okay.
Not bad. It's nice. Yep. I think
it's downtown.
Newark.
Downtown Newark.
Don't venture two blocks away.
You guys want the rink there.
That's a scary area.
I think maybe the litmus test of arena in terms of how nice it is, and this sounds funny, but it's true. Do they have an escalator? And that usually kind of, if they have an escalator, that usually kind of categorizes it as probably a little bit more modern.
The old Montreal Forum had escalators. That was the classic picture of seeing the Forum from the outside.
Like the
and you saw the, exactly, it was the hockey stick.
That's right,
the
Bell Center has it too, yeah.
Oh, does it?
I think so.
I've been past the Bell Center so many times, I've never been to a game there.
Same.
Because I used to
it's
stay
the closest
at,
one.
I used to stay at hotels there. All around there and walk so by and go to Windsor Station. But I go to a Montreal game.
Hey, boo!
Oh. I'd rather go to a Montreal-Ottawa game in Montreal rather than Montreal anybody else, but I go to a game in Montreal. It's easy to get to. Right. Yeah, voicemail you said about 10 minutes ago.
We got one. You ready?
Yeah.
Canuck, Cardinal, Pan. Hello from Toronto, the land of never-ending Leafs coverage. As a fan of the NHL, it's pretty brutal having to listen to the Toronto sports media day in and day out. As Pan would say, oh, it's terrible. Last week, you read an email from someone who said that the position of goalie, you know, in hockey, was the most important in sports. I agree, if you exclude pitchers in baseball, but I digress. So to that end, here's my question for you guys, and I'd be really curious to get your take on this. Is there any debate that Craig Anderson is the greatest goaltender in modern sense history? And when I say greatest, I mean, you know, the goalie who has been the most valuable to the team. Not the greatest in terms of their entire career. Otherwise, the clear winner is Hasek. But in terms of Anderson, I can't think of another goalie who has, A, stolen more games for the Sens, and B, been more consistent game after game, year over year, than Mr. Anderson. I'd be curious to get your thoughts. Love the show. See you guys.
Thanks, mate. If we knew your name, we'd say thank you with your name. So please introduce yourself next time you leave a voicemail like that. Just so we know.
Glad to hear that he agrees that baseball pitchers would...
pitchers.
What?
Multiple.
Pitchers. Oh, I see what you're going. Well, over the long term, I would have to say yes. I would say Craig Anderson is the greatest goaltender who has made the greatest impact. But I would put a caveat on that. Because, as we all know, Andrew Hammond had a record-setting run 2 seasons ago. Then that was one season to get us into the playoffs, which was unlike anything that any goalie in the history of the NHL has ever done.
That was one season, and I mean season, not in the NHL season. I mean one season of the year record. Yeah,
absolutely.
And undoubtedly, he owns that.
Overall,
but
I would
once
say,
it got to the playoffs, it was pretty obvious that...
And then it was back to Craig Anderson.
It was back to Craig Anderson.
Well, he had... Hammond had burned himself
meaningful games?
He was scared. Yeah.
I think, and he was burned out. I mean, he played a lot of games.
It was just the pressure.
Meaningful games, I got to agree with our caller here.
Absolutely.
Anderson wins it. But, you know, if you're just talking about games, I agree. Like, Hasek's in the picture for sure. He would steal games. Right. It's the friggin' fact that the way it ended.
Who took us to the Stanley Cup final?
Emery.
Ray Emery.
Did you really?
So really often.
Yeah, those were all 6-5 games because that's when the pizza line was at its height. But you could put in an argument for Ray Emery.
I just think of those games, even the last time we were in the playoffs, which is 2 seasons ago against Montreal. We lost the series in game 6?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
But Anderson played 4 of them?
Yes. No.
Yes. Three, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, so he was 2-2. Yeah.
Like each one of those games, even though we lost 2 of them.
Nail biter.
My gosh, he kept them right in.
For sure.
Amazing.
Even when we were playing a terrible system that didn't work and...
And playing against Price.
And playing against Price, exactly.
Who was dead on that series.
Oh, he was in the zone, for sure. For sure.
Should say 2-1-1. Because Pageau scored that goal. Only other guy I can think of is Ron Tugnutt.
You could even say it about Patrick Laliem for a lot of... I mean, not the greatest goalie, but he stole...
He was the most... He was a winning...
Most winning.
He won a lot of games, and he did really well. He got...
He had
screwed.
A heck of a team in front of him, too, for so many years.
True. If you take Craig Anderson...
But...
Go ahead.
Do you think that that team is that was in front of him for all those years? I mean, it was Ray Emery that took us to the Stanley Cup final, but the teams that were in front of Laliem... All that much better than what we have sitting now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Give it another year and you still...
Yeah.
Okay. Because of who?
Redden, Phillips, Chera.
Okay. So, hold on. Redden, Phillips, Chera.
It's a different era. Different game.
So, for Redden, Phillips, Chera, you have Erik Karlsson, Mathot, Chera. Okay. I'll give you. You're going to put...
Phillips over Mathot. I think Phillips is, at that time, was better, way better than Mathot is now.
Okay. Erik Karlsson versus... Wade Redden?
Sometimes being the fan of the team, it's hard to step back. But those years in the early 2000s,
they were phenomenal. Redden
everybody outside the Ottawa organization, people accredited us as being
absolutely
a contender. Yeah.
Very true.
We don't have contender status now.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet, but we just don't right now.
I don't think we just have the top talent yet.
Give it some time, maybe.
I was
hope
say,
so.
I think we have the talent that needs another year.
I hope so. Sure.
There's an awful lot of talent on this team that's playing properly in a system that works. And I think that a lot of the talent on this team has not been given the credit that it's due because they haven't been playing within a system and, quite frankly, an organization supporting it properly to give it the success that it had under Jacques Martin.
I hope so.
Because Jacques Martin was the coach that made that team work.
Yes. Yep.
Because if they had been playing under somebody else, they would not have had the success they did. Because a defensive-minded coach got them, we'll play defense, you can score when you can. And it worked.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I'm just talking about the fact that right now we're not there.
Marty Havlat, your third-line right winger.
Yeah.
That team was stacked.
But he was...
Third-line right winger.
To be honest, our best
team... Hosa Alfredsson...
When he was healthy. He was still getting hurt.
And
by
if
then.
You don't, you still had Hosa and Alfredsson. Like the thing, it was crazy.
The best team we fielded.
It was a real good team.
Absolutely. But let's look at what's coming up now. Right wing, Stone and Bobby Ryan. But
again, we're not looking.
You're projecting.
We're not,
I'm projecting.
Okay, because I'm looking at Spezza was second overall. Redden was second overall. Phillips was the first overall.
That's where they were picked. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily
good
players.
But these guys are not, they're not going to compare. Because like what? Stone is, who's here? Stamkos is here?
Okay, so if they're not a first or second or third overall pick, they can't be a top player?
There's a big difference between one of those guys, like the Canes and the Tates.
They were league-wide known, I guess.
And a Hoffman and a Stone.
I get what you're saying.
And you can see that. You can see that in the national teams.
Okay, if they win a Stanley Cup, does that make them better?
Who's that?
If this team wins the Stanley Cup in the next 2 years, does that make them better than that era? Simple question. Yes or no?
Yep. Those results matter.
Probably.
Results
That's
matter.
All I'm pointing out.
No, no, you're projecting now, ahead. I get it. But if you take where we are now, looking back.
Results-wise, yes. You could put that back on goaltending, though.
I still say the best team
this
ever had.
Are they a better team? Yes or no?
If they win?
Yes.
History will always say yes.
I agree. That's all I'm saying. You can say, well, these guys are top draft picks. They didn't win. If these guys do win, or if they do just as well, that makes them just as good. Because results, not draft pick, not where they landed, it's how good were their results. That's all I'm saying.
I know, but that was the question, though.
The percentage of success is higher with top talent.
The question was more about if you put a Anderson back against one of those teams, would they be amazing?
I would totally take it. Craig Anderson, put him in the DeLorean, send him back to 2003.
We won on two cups, probably.
Yeah, we won in 2003.
Well, he would have been a bit young at the time.
No, you take him now. You put him in the DeLorean.
Come on, back to the future. So the point I was trying to get out a couple of times is that the best team that we had was that year that we lost to Jersey in Game 7.
Yes.
That was the best.
Even better than the one that went to the Stanley Cup Final. I agree wholeheartedly.
And I would argue probably one of those years we lost to Toronto. Probably the last one. We were damn good.
Put Craig Anderson in there.
Oh my gosh. You put Craig Anderson up against Neuwendijk's shots from the left-hand boards.
Sick. I'm trying to make
this
fridge.
What are you doing there?
Well, it's making a really annoying noise and it's not stopping, so I don't know what to do.
It's saying, drink me.
Okay. I like your thinking. Anything else you want to talk about, Senators? Or do you want to go to another?
We got an email.
We got an email. So let's go with that. I mean, we can go around the league after that. Do you have anything before I grind your gears? Try and get that lined up as well.
No.
Yeah. Oh, quick. Just before we go to that other voicemail or email, someone going to read the email?
Yeah,
One of you can look it up. Okay. Just before we go, this was the line of the week from Russell. Ryan's hands are made of Havlat.
Because Havlat
Ryan's
would always
hands
get injured.
Are made of Havlat because Havlat was always getting hurt.
Or Leclerc.
Leclerc. Yeah. No, Pascal Leclerc. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Made of glass. Jeez.
Glasgow?
Glasgow.
Repair. Oh, that's even better.
That was great.
I like
that
one.
Sends underground.
Right.
We got two emails.
But we have another voicemail, don't we?
It's a great and spank ears.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Oh, thank you for reminding me. No, we have two emails from
how organized I am today.
I'm just checking the name. He says Taylor. It's from Taylor.
Yes.
I'm going to combine the emails because he kind of started typing halfway and accidentally hit send. And
reload.
So
thanks for that.
I'm just going to combine it as one email.
Sure.
I think the way he meant it to be.
The second one.
Hey guys, my name's Taylor, new listener to the show and been a Sens fan since 2005. My question to you is this. With the jersey retirement of Alfredsson,
got tickets.
Being retired in December, who else would you like to see having their jersey retired as well? Minus the obvious choice of Chris Phillips. Thanks a bunch, Taylor. P.S. I was at the Sens Canucks game in Vancouver in October, and would have been awesome to meet you guys.
What a pity you didn't meet him, Matt Karkner.
Follow us on Twitter, man. You want to check?
Simply for two things. One, his double overtime goal against Pittsburgh.
What, Matt Karkner?
Matt Karkner. And and for his taking care of Brian Boyle. His number deserves 39 rafters.
I don't think you retire his number for
that. Just like, I just got here.
I don't think you retire his number for that. I think you create a statue in pose of maybe like him fist pounding and put it out front. Somehow enshrine that moment.
On a more serious note, I don't think Chris Phillips' number, I'm not sure if his number gets retired.
I don't think so.
Chris Phillips has been a very good player for this team for a very long time. He's been a community guy.
Who cares? Retire it. Or honor it, if you want to do that thing.
No. We're not going down that road. We're not pulling a Maple Leafs. And besides, they've retired all of them.
Just wait 100 years
and
then retire.
What about Chris Neal? He's the next guy you think of?
Definitely not.
These guys,
it's Eric Karlsson.
They're not. I was going to say, I think that both Chris Phillips and Chris Neal have been fan favorites.
Yep.
No question. They've been very active in the community. No question. They've been unbelievable ambassadors for the team in the community. No question. Are they, I hesitate to use the word, but do they have the godlike status of, quite frankly, an awful lot of players retired by Montreal or Toronto or Daniel Alfredson.
Yeah. No.
No, they don't. They're great players. They are not unbelievable. Like, I don't even want to use the word elite. They're not.
Well, they aren't elite.
But I mean, there's just that one echelon of player, like people who've been retired in Montreal or in Toronto or Daniel Alfredson, which is the obvious and so happy that they're doing it choice. And I just don't see Chris Phillips or Chris Neal. Huge fan popularity, yes, but they're not that
game changer.
Even beyond that, there's just that one special status that separates them. It's not even Hockey Hall of Fame. It's local legend. I can't think of the right word. Me, not knowing the right word. Who knew that? But there's just that one thing.
So I'm not saying I disagree with you, because I think that probably is true. But what about the notion or the argument of this city needs some heritage? This team needs some heritage.
No.
And these are guys that are quite fan favorites and have played their whole careers here and are quite widely recognized.
Tenure doesn't mean excellence.
They are very good players, and they will certainly be remembered, and they will certainly be honored, and they will certainly remain fan favorites. I have no question about that. But I don't think they reach the level of, or the status of, someone deserving their number to be retired because they made such an impact. And I mean, Daniel Alfredson was the Ottawa Senators for years.
Yeah.
And he was not just a fan favorite, but he was a fan favorite and a scapegoat at the same time for an awfully long time.
Yeah.
And he bore it well. He bore it with a grace and tenure and just the way he carried himself through all of it, as well as what he did for this team on and off the ice. That's what gets your number retired.
Here's a question for you. If the trade to Dallas would have never happened, would Jason Spezza have his number retired?
Ooh.
I think he would have.
Yep. I think so.
I still think he might have a chance.
If he stayed here, yes.
If he stayed here and it didn't happen, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, possibly.
I think we all know who the next number is going to be retired, and hopefully not for a long time.
Not for a long time. It'll be 65. Yeah. That's because nobody's had an impact like that.
And I hope that this organization
By the way,
doesn't 19, let him go.
19's not going to the rafters in any Ottawa arena ever. No.
Number 19?
No.
Is it Weiserman?
No, just Spezza, not happening. I don't think it'll ever happen.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Now.
Like, what's wrong with Broussard? What the hell? No.
Because of Yzerman, like you're thinking. Like, we already have a Steve Yzerman arena, so.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know why you're thinking any arena in Ottawa.
No, I don't see Jason Spezza's number being retired in Ottawa. He was a great player here for quite a number of years, but
just because of the way that it ended.
No, because he wasn't here long enough. To do that.
He was here for 10 years.
Yep. That's not long enough. It isn't.
It's asking for a lot.
Yep.
It depends on what happens.
Actually, that's true, because you want to set that.
Well, let's look at it from the other side of the coin. How many players in Montreal, Toronto, who have their number retired, spent more than, any seasons playing for somebody else? A few. I mean, Guy Lafleur's number is retired by Montreal, and he ended up playing for the Rangers in Quebec. But and Larry Robinson ended up playing for LA. But the vast majority of their time was in Montreal. Toronto, I can't address because I just don't give a crap about their numbers or their team. But I just don't see it happening for anybody, at least in the short term, other than Erik Karlsson. And I will say, if Erik Karlsson leaves as a free agent in 3 years from now, I'm not sure that 65 will be retired.
It very much has to do with
if he leaves, and he's got two more years after this one on this contract. If he leaves as a free agent,
he'll probably be top score guy, top point, outside of Alfredson.
We'll see. I mean, if there's a couple of Stanley Cup wins in between now and then, we'll see. But as of right now, the way things are right now, if he was to leave in another 2 years, no.
God forbid that ever happens. I hope again, if that ever had to happen, it's something that we understand and not another crap budget team, all that negativity.
He may just want to leave.
I mean, yes, if he wins a cup here or something and he wants to leave, I mean, you kind of like, well, you know what? Good luck, sir.
His wife wants to play in New York or wants to play in L.A. or wants to play
here, thank God.
Well, she's from here, but she may want to go to the big city.
Yeah, you never know.
New York is a fun place. I don't want to live there, but it's a hell of a lot of fun to visit.
Did Ray Bourque get his number retired in Boston?
Yep. Yes, but he only played 2 years in Colorado. I like Ray Bourque.
Anyway, you're depressing me now with the thoughts of Carlson leaving.
So. I'm just throwing things out there.
But I get it. So I think to go back to his question is, I think the answer we've come up with is no. No, we don't see any other numbers right now.
Not right now. And I'm happy with that, to be completely honest. I don't want number retirements.
You don't want to manufacture heritage, no. You're saying.
It's something that's incredibly special, not merely special. I know that sounds trite, but... we have an email to read. Who wants to read that?
We already did that.
Oh, we did, didn't we?
Yep.
Sorry. I'm really tired today.
You know, come on, I got a flight.
Okay. We're working.
If you got more questions like that, like the voicemail or the email, send them in. Those are fun.
They're great. Quick notes around the league. Here's a scary one. The Coyotes are 21-0-4 against what team in the past 25 games?
Ottawa?
Nope. 21-0-4. That's an unbelievable record.
That's got to be a same division.
It's a Western Conference
team. Oilers?
Yeah. 21-0-4 against the Oilers in the past 25 games.
I bet you that's going to change.
That's pretty impressive. Well, they've already played twice this year.
Really?
Yep.
Jeez.
That's pretty cool, though, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Las Vegas. We haven't talked about Vegas. They named their team since last time we were here.
Did we not do that?
No.
Nope. It was since the last time we recorded. Geez. So they are the Vegas Golden Knights. Not Las Vegas Golden Knights, just Vegas Golden Knights. Which, by the way, is causing a bit of a problem with the U.S. Army.
Why?
That's their parachute team.
The Golden Knights?
The Golden Knights. They've been their parachute team for a really long time, and there may be a copyright challenge on that.
If you're going to change it now.
You should.
It's so easy to change right now.
I think they should call the team the Crapshoot.
Oh, God.
Because it is. After Arizona, everything else, quite frankly, putting a team in Vegas is a crapshoot. So.
Could you call them the Black Aces? Or would that be confusing because of the hockey term?
They don't want to do anything with that.
They don't want to have it gambling related?
I don't know. It's unfortunate.
We want to be in Vegas.
Yeah.
Sponsored by...
Well, they wanted the Knights because it's MGM. Just like on the cards. But you can't because London... copyrighted everything.
I have a second note here.
And they're going to work fine.
Briefly.
We've been through this.
I have a second note here for stuff around the league, which I think is correct, but now that the numbers are identical to the other one, I'm not positive. So I'll put this out there with an asterisk that it may not be 100% right. Carolina versus Montreal. They're also 21-0-4.
Carolina. Jeez. I don't understand that team, but man, are they a pest.
I'm pretty sure that's right. They are.
They can't pay
Skinner?
The
bills.
He's a pest, which is crazy considering how many concussions he's had, and he's a smaller player, so that's a little wild.
Always Skinner.
I'm not 100% sure about that one. I may have got the stat. I may have copied the stat wrong, so if somebody wants to correct me, I feel free, but I think that's correct. And the last one, which I want to talk about for around the league, just one more point, was... Florida Panthers. And we talked about it very briefly earlier on. The way that they fired coach. Wow. I'm losing my ability to speak English. Clearly the way that they fired, coach.
It's good beer, isn't it?
It is very good. They fired their coach in Raleigh by not letting him back into the dressing room after the game. They wanted to get him away from the team. So they wouldn't let him back in the dressing room. They wouldn't let him on the charter to the next place. And they left him standing in the loading dock holding a little bag with his skates in them.
They offered him a car. He refused it because he was angry.
It didn't show. That's why he got in a cab.
Oh, is it?
Because it didn't show.
That's pretty.
They ordered a car that didn't show up. So he was left there. He was left standing waiting. And that's why they called him a cab.
Probably had a Hillary sticker on it or something like that.
That's Poor. Considering he had 103 points with them last year before they gutted their team because they didn't like the players that had bad Corsi.
Hey.
You traded Eric Goodbranson because his stats weren't good.
Yep. They want to run. These guys are millionaires, if not billionaires, with the military background. They understand competitive strategy. And the coach was refusing to run their system.
Owners own, managers manage, and coaches coach. Isn't that what we say about Ottawa whenever Eugene Melnyk sticks his nose into things? It is. And now we have owners
who... No, but if this is what your strategy is, you can do whatever you want with your team, and Melnyk does it too.
And people shit all over him for it. Sorry.
Yep.
S-word. They crap all over him for it, and they go, oh my God, the owner won't shut up, and he won't let the team do what they're supposed to, and blah, 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 blah. But when another team does it, it's okay. No.
Who said it's okay?
Well, everyone seems to think it's okay for Carolina to do this.
Florida.
Actually, sorry, Florida. Thank you.
Remember how Paul McLean was insubordinate? Just doing whatever he wanted?
Yep.
He wasn't even following what the GM was telling him to do.
That's different. That's the GM, not the owner.
Well, I think that's what's happening in Florida.
Your GM always talks to the ownership. The owner can do whatever he wants.
But if the owner is telling the coach how to coach.
Well, if it's
through the GM.
Nope, directly. He was doing it directly now. The ownership has been so directly involved in everything going on with this team because they think they know hockey. Well, which is what people criticize. How many other teams for?
It's a wait and see because you don't know what the model is.
Exactly the problem then.
Yep.
You don't know if maybe they were right.
It hasn't worked so far this season.
Because Gallant wasn't playing their system.
They're hiring, they're insisting on getting players that fit into the numbers game, and it's not working.
They're not that far back, and Gallant wasn't running their system.
And so now
isn't implementing the plan.
And now they have a GM who has no coaching experience.
No, he's got coaching experience. He's got no GM experience.
No, sorry. Their coach is the former GM who has no NHL coaching experience. Tom Lowe.
Yeah, but he has coaching experience.
Not in the NHL. He's a rookie.
It doesn't matter.
So he's now coach and GM.
For the last 9 years.
So he has coach and GM. And how well has that worked for us? That's all I'm saying.
Wait and see.
Yeah. I'm just.
So wait and see.
I'm with you, Cardinal. I don't like it.
I think you're booking in for your
seats. No. Yeah. Did you see Pan had tweeted this out. Not tweeted. You sent it in the group text there. The picture of the Florida bench, and it has the Microsoft Clippy, the little Clippy.
I saw that, yes.
It looks like your score adjusted Corsi is down. Would you like to be placed on waivers tonight?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they go with that. That's all right.
You can't judge it till you see it.
I can judge it.
They're 1-2 so far, which means they're worse than they were in England.
1-1-1.
I'm not surprised the coach got fired because they had a bad record. End of story. But
who had 103 points last year until you traded away players that you didn't like their Corsi?
But
103 points.
I've never
seen. That's all I'm saying.
They're saying they're not Moneyball, but it sounds a lot like Moneyball.
It's all stats. We're gonna do everything according to numbers. It has nothing to do with the way that anything or any hockey mind thinks about things. It's all about stats.
You know, it's a reminder that the best owner you can have
is the one that doesn't interfere.
reason
they all do,
but is one who's just loaded, and this is his fun hobby. Not
so
someone who's trying to.
Buffalo?
I was going to say Buffalo was the one that first came to mind. Well, he's got the Bills right now, so he's not paying attention to hockey.
As opposed to someone who this is a source of income, then it becomes a problem.
Or it's their sole focus, and that's all they're
interested in. Or that
they're obsessed
with it.
Sole remaining asset.
But,
you know, picture a team or, you know, a person who's a billionaire, lots of companies, maybe even lots of hobbies, including a hockey team, and then all of a sudden all those other companies go away and all those other hobbies go away, and now you're left with your one sole source of income.
Doesn't necessarily go well.
We'll
see. Do you have anything that grinds your gears this week? Let's get this done and get out of here, because you have...
You know what really grinds my gears?
Do you have
5:30 a.m. flights out of Ottawa.
Well, look at it this way. Security will be easy. There won't be that many. It's not February. You're not having people trying to get on their 6 a.m. charters to get down south. You'll be all right. See, I'm silver lining.
Whatever.
I'm silver lining it for you.
Well, let's start with a voicemail here.
All right.
Hey guys, it's CB and calling. You know what really grinds my gears? Calling people on their cell phones. No, it's not that calling them is what bugs me, because I'm calling on my cell phone right now. But, I mean, if I phone and I leave a message, because, hey, I'm running a little bit late. I just had to stop at the liquor store and pick up a bottle of Zinfandel. You know, I'm on my way. I'll be a few minutes late. Then I hang up. And then what do they call? They do, and they call you right back, right that second. And I say, did you listen to the message? And they go, no, I just called you right back. So I've stopped leaving messages anymore. Well, except for this one. Anyway, great show, guys. Keep it up. Bye.
Thank you, CB Inc. That's brilliant. I agree wholeheartedly.
He's got a point. I've done that. I've had other people do it to me.
Yeah.
Or you figure, oh, I'll call you right back. Shoot, I just missed it and save you leaving the message. We can figure out what it is. But
what grinds your gears this week?
What grinds my gears?
Yeah.
Go to somebody else first.
Okay. I don't have one.
You don't have one?
I'm not sure.
The only thing that's really ground my gears this week is people who don't pay attention to exit signs on the Queensway. There's your local reference for the Peace Tower Chimes. I was driving east on the Queensway from Carling into downtown. I didn't get on at Carling, but I was coming from the West End into downtown. And at Carling, there's a sign that says Parkdale, 1 kilometer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We got, and this is for local reference, you know how you go under the pedestrian bridge right at Fisher Park High School, and then you go around the corner a little bit, and Parkdale's right there. It was after the pedestrian bridge when somebody in the left-hand lane suddenly realized, oh my God, I've got to go off at Parkdale. Right signal cuts across 3 lanes straight into the exit ramp and only missed the 3 cars that he cut in front of because all 3 of them lit up their brake lights.
Why are you following me to work?
If you're about to miss an exit, go to the next one.
Yeah.
Oh no, I can't go. I have to go off here. And everybody should get out of my way because I'm really important. The self-important.
Good luck, everybody else.
Yep. Sorry, don't care.
Oh.
That grinds my gears. That's what really ground my gears this week because I was 3 cars back from one of them. And I did get a brake job recently, thank goodness, because I had to throw the binders on pretty hard to avoid the pileup that was potentially happening in front of me. And this minivan just off they went. Well, I got off. I got off the exit I needed to get off at because I was too busy texting while I was driving and didn't notice the exit sign a kilometer ago. So, good. Got anything?
Nah.
Nope. Okay. Then let's get out of here. The week to come. And you have your schedule ready.
Monday, we're in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Apparently, this is a road trip of death.
Most important
death summer.
By the way, the reason that we lost the game against
Buffalo Philly,
the Flyers.
Yeah,
the reason we lost the game against the Flyers is because Dean couldn't get on the radio to talk to Lloydy and Whitey because they were preempted by something else going on. So he didn't get a chance to say it was the most important game of the year, and that's why they lost. The end.
Huh.
Also, somebody didn't play Japandroids.
Easy. That was awesome.
Wow.
It works. It seriously works. Who was it that scored? Oh, yeah. He plays Japandroids.
Right at the beginning of the game.
Well, yeah.
Pretty early on.
The last year against Florida. Plays it right at the start of the game. Bam, bam.
So 2 goals.
I bugged him about it again. Plays it against, I think it was against Florida. I don't know who. No.
No, Florida was the last game you just described.
Boston, I think. Plays it. Next play, if enough scores.
Mm. Baltimore is better, though.
Just go with what works. Go with what works, man. Anyways, so tomorrow, Monday.
I love how we actually believe there's a correlation.
There. Absolutely. Correlation does not imply causation, but anyway.
Just like me eating my burgers, right? Team diabetes.
Yeah, that worked well for you, didn't it?
Oh.
Yeah.
So Monday the 5th at Pittsburgh. Out to California. I wish I could go with them. Wednesday in San Jose.
Now, what time is the start?
10:30 local.
Okay, 10:30
here.
Okay, the next two, though.
2 days off. Saturday, 4 p.m.
local.
Here.
4 p.m. local.
So 1 p.m. there.
In L.A.?
Yep. Now, it's back-to-back, and they got to travel all the way to Anaheim, so that's a 20-minute
drive. Oh, man. Drive.
For another 1 p.m. start.
Yeah.
1 p.m. local, 4 p.m. here.
Told you we were lucky.
Well, I mean, Toronto was playing at 7 p.m. Eastern last night in Vancouver.
Why?
Because they're Toronto.
Yeah, that's 4 p.m. for the
It doesn't
locals.
Matter, though, because when they go to California,
they're
playing...
It's hockey night in Canada.
Yeah, but they're playing at 10:30 for the rest of them. Who? That was the only one. Vancouver.
Toronto?
Yeah, or Toronto, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, good. For Calgary and Edmonton and California.
Good.
Nope.
That's the way it should be.
We got the better schedule this year.
Excellent. I'm liking that.
Played the most home games, too, because they were all compressed into November.
November was crazy for home games.
That's why people didn't go.
There were just too many of them.
Because of your World Cup. Compressed the schedule.
World Cup of hockey. It's the NHL Cash Grab Cup. It's not a World Cup, but I've ranted about that already.
I think, you've commented on it several times, Pan. I don't think we give enough credit to the Phoenix payroll fiasco with the federal government. Seriously.
Yeah.
Having an impact on a lot of things in this city.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Coyotes their dead money. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No,
true. Very true.
Because while Alex has tweeted out, he just got paid properly last week.
For those not in the National Capital Region, Phoenix is the payroll system for federal government employees, and they've been having chronic problems.
For months.
Almost a year.
His pay wasn't right since March.
Yeah, almost a year.
You don't get paid the right amount for that long a time?
Well, new hires are sometimes not getting paid for
months. The summer kids weren't paid at all.
Yeah, months.
I mean, that's unfathomable.
To be completely honest, being somebody who's never worked in the public service, I've only ever worked in the private sector, it blows my mind.
The private sector would have immediately reverted back to the old system. Whoever would have implemented the system.
Whoever gave it the go-ahead.
The contractor would have gotten sued.
Whoever gave the manager the go-ahead to do it
would have been fired.
Absolutely. That's what blows my mind. Is this was implemented to save somebody's bonus about getting it implemented on time and we'll fix all the problems later?
The
public sector doesn't work that way.
Right.
We would be fired. You implemented something that doesn't work. We can fix it. Bye.
If you don't pay your employees, you don't pay them all they're supposed to be paid. And you're surprised that people in a government town aren't showing up in the same droves as they did for attendance against end games? That has a huge factor
Absolutely
in the equation.
Absolutely it does.
Let alone there's so many home games in November. It was rough.
There were a lot. There were a lot indeed. Now, we're not sure when we're going to come back because our schedules are December.
Next week.
Sometime next week, we hope.
Yeah.
We hope.
Okay.
Just a quick reminder, we're always happy to hear. We got voicemails. We got two voicemails this
Woo-hoo!
Week, and we got email, which is always fun because it's great conversation topics.
Keep on donating!
Can always donate. There's a link on our website at sendscallops.com. You can email us at podcast@sendscallops.com.
What grinds my gears.
Oh, sorry. What grinds your gears?
Okay, say it with me.
I don't know what you're about to say.
Follow my lead.
All right.
What I say, let's all repeat it.
Call and repeat.
Hey, Siri! Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri. You too.
Hey Siri.
There. Let's see if we got any of this. I'm just hoping we set off some listeners' phones.
Oh. What are you doing?
Mine says do hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri.
Hey Siri. Hey Siri.
What?
Hey Siri.
So listeners, let us know if your phone just went off.
Hey Siri.
Yeah, tell us what the search result was too. Because that'll be fun. And you can thank you for that. You can email us at podcast@sendscallops.com. You can contact us via Twitter or certainly follow us via Twitter. And share. If you see something funny, if you see something on Twitter you like, please don't just favorite it. Please retweet it, because we're always looking for more followers. You can contact us via the waiver wire, sponsored by Visitor. Thank you very much. At 1-844-SCU-6565. On behalf of the other two gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. I'm Cardinal. Good night.
Later, Siri.
They won. Someone's behind, it's over again. into the sky. Nothing can stop me tonight. You make me feel invincible. Earthquake powerful, just like a tidal wave. You make me brave. You're my titanium fight song. Raise it up like the roar of victory in a stadium. Who can touch me? Cause I'm who can stop me tonight? You make me feel invincible. I feel it, invincible. I feel it, invincible.
What the shit? I don't want to watch the game.
What is it with websites these days? And they're all laid out like a tablet or something. I don't know what it is.
It's everybody's building things to work on tablets and phones.
Like, I'm fine with them being mobile friendly. That doesn't mean you have to suck.
I'm all for people. That's what grinds your gears, but that's a beautiful line. Doesn't mean you have to suck.